Ravitska Karlovac, Pek Jovos, Pek Slyši.
Pek Slyši Mission Base.
Mission Base.
Yeah. So, after we learned about Akave ben Mehale, now we see about Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohen. Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohen.
I'm gonna cry.
Rabbi Chanina.
Yeah.
His name is Rabbi Chanina.
Yeah.
Sgan HaKohen. Deputy of the Kohen Gadol.
Oh, Sgan, okay.
So, first of all, his name is Rabbi Chanina. So, as we remember last time, if his name is Rabbi Chanina, it means that he's already of a later generation.
Right.
Yeah? So, he's not the generation of Zugot. That's the generation when you had the Zugot. They were called by the names. You had Hillel Shama, Shmaya Naftali, not Rabbi Shmaya, Rabbi Naftali. Yeah, Shmaya Naftali. But after Hillel ben Shammai, then we begin names as Rabbi. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai.
So where did Rabbi come in?
What?
Things are different from Rabbi. Rabbi
is much later. Rabbi is much later. It's like this.
Before Rav?
What?
Rabbi was after Rav?
No. No. We had like this. You had, first of all, no names.
Right.
That's called Tkufat HaZukot, the time of the twins, of the couples. That's
right.
Zukot. Yeah. That's it's not yet a Tanaim. Hillel and Shammai, he's not really from the area of the Tanaim.
Yeah, he was on the border.
He is of the Zukot, in the border. But because he's called Hillel, as we can see, he's called Hillel. Mm-hmm. And his partner is called Shammai,
right.
Rabbi. If you want to know when the time of the Tanaim begins, it begins when you have the name Rabbi. So the students of Hillel were already called Rabbi. And that's like Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai.
When you say Rabbi, you mean Rabbi?
Rabbi.
Oh, okay.
Rabbi Yochanan ben, it's the same. It comes from
okay.
The same. It's the same.
Rabbi
is English. English
okay.
pronounce of the
so
of
then
Rabbi.
Rab is after that.
I'll say a minute. So you had Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai.
Right.
Rabbi Yonatan ben Uziel, Rabbi. All these, that's a generation of the, and it's a generation that they are the students, the Talmidim of Hillel and Shammai, and it's the generation of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Churban. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, as we know, the famous story, he lived in the time of the Romans when they tried to conquer Jerusalem, and he managed to save the sages, the Talmidei Chachamim, get them out of Yerushalayim and open the yeshiva in Yavne. But Yerushalayim was destroyed. Okay, so now we know, and Akavya ben Mahalel, as we began with last week, his name is Akavya, meaning his earlier generation.
Mm-hmm.
He's not Rabbi. But now we're going on to a new name. The new name of Mishnah basis, Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohen. So if his name is Rabbi, meaning he's a later generation, and he is the generation of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. If we say he was a deputy, a Sgan, of the Kohen Gadol, it means that he was in the time of the temple.
Right.
But he's called Rabbi, meaning he was the last generation when the temple was standing, the temple was destroyed in his time.
Mm-hmm.
So we would say it was like from the last Kohanim. Now, it's very interesting. Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohanim, meaning Rabbi Chanina, Jupiter of the Kohen Gadol, there's a lot of Mishnayot about him, a lot of. Most of them are about the Beis HaMikdash.
Mm-hmm.
Usually says Beis HaMikdash used to do this, Beis HaMikdash used to do that, Beis HaMikdash bring this korban, that korban. Usually you have a lot of Mishnayot of him in got to do the Beis HaMikdash, because he was the one, you know, he had the yeshiva in Yavne. Beis HaMikdash was destructed already, no Beis HaMikdash. He used to argue what the halacha is to do in the Beis HaMikdash, and he used to stand up and say, I remember when the Beis HaMikdash was brought this column, this way, that way. The law of Mishnah got to Beis HaMikdash in his memory, because
mm-hmm.
he was there. He was in the temple, he saw the things where it happened. Most of the Tanaim, most of his generation, great rabbis, but they were not in the Beis HaMikdash, they were not Kohanim. Even Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, a famous scholar, big Talmud Chacham, but I don't know how much he knew what was going on to be some English. He didn't see it. Day after day, like him, he did.
Right.
So that's why he's a very important figure in Kochim, got to do to base some English questions. So that's Rebbe. If I'll go on and say, then from this generation, if we go on, they were all Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Meir, Rebbe. One of the last ones, it's a few generations after, if we count the generations, I think it's, you count in the four generations, it was already after the rebellion, Bar Kokhba rebellion, when again Israel was destroyed and so on and so on. Then he had Rebbe. His real name was Rebbe Yehuda. He was the grandson of the grandson of the generation of the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't see the Beis HaMikdash, the grandson of the generation of Beis HaMikdash. His name was Rabbi Yehuda, but because he was so famous and so important, and he was also the Nasi, also the president of the Jewish people, and also the Beis Din of the Jewish people, and such an important figure. So instead of to say Rabbi Yehuda, they say Rabbi. You know, it's like the Chabadnikim.
Mm-hmm.
They don't call the Rebbe of Lubavitch. They say the Rebbe, right? You spoke on the Chabadnik? How does he call his Rebbe? Mm-hmm. Rebbe. The Rebbe says. He doesn't say the Rebbe of Lubavitch says. He says the Rebbe, right? Why? It's so important for him. For the Jewish people, Rabbi Yehuda was so important, so they called him Rabbi. That's it. Everyone knew who it means, Rabbi. Now he had a student, a Talmud, that came from Bavel, was a Babylonian. If I'm not mistaken, his name was Rav Abba. Okay. Yeah? Now he went back to Bavel, and he became a Rosh Hashiva, and became also the most important figure in the Babylonian yeshivas. So also him happened what happened to Rebbe. Now, in Israel, you say Rebbe. In Bavel, because we speak Hebrew, in Hebrew, you say Rebbe. Because that's the way you say someone important, someone who's a master in studying, in teaching, you say Rebbe. Because he's a master in studying.
Mm-hmm.
But in Aramaic, you don't say Rebbe. You don't say Rebbe, you say Rav. It's in Aramaic.
Okay.
That's what they say it in Bavel.
So let me see, the word Rav is from Bavel.
Exactly.
Right.
Now, because it was so important, Rav Abba went down to Bavel. So instead of to say Rav Abba, they said Rav. Same what happened to Rebbe Yehuda. Instead of to say Rebbe Yehuda, they say Rebbe. See, it's called Rav. Everyone knew who it means. Rav. The only one Rav, because it was so important. But yes, as you say, if you see someone called Rav, you know he's from Bavel. If he's called Rebbe, he's in Israel. That's the difference. So here we're talking about Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohen. And it's very, very important to understand what he's saying here. It's very important to know the historical background. It's got to do with Halakha, to understand what he's saying. Because what he's saying, it's got to do with the historical situation where he lived in. Because Rabbi Chanina Sgan HaKohen says like this, I think it's one of the most important and famous Mishnahs of Maseches Avot.
I'm sorry, he learned under who again?
He was probably also a student of probably Hillel and Shammai.
I see, okay.
Probably Hillel.
Mm-hmm.
It was like almost the same generation as Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, maybe a bit slightly younger.
Uh-huh.
But it was Hillel, and studied also a bit by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, also a bit. It was times of studied by him. So he still saw the Beis HaMikdash, and he served in the Beis HaMikdash, and he saw how the Roman Empire conquered Jerusalem and burnt the Beis HaMikdash down. He saw how the Hashemite kingdom that began with such a promise that was so, you know, holy, began with Matityahu and Yehuda Nasi and Yehuda Maccabi and all that, how then later, you know, or how it fell down to the hands of King Herod. He killed all his family and he brought the Romans to rule Israel. And he brought all the wickedness of the Roman Empire into Israel. And they walked there, how they behaved to the Jewish people. So, in such a wicked way. He saw it all. And saw the rebellion. And he saw how the Romans conquered Jerusalem and burned down the Beis HaMikdash. And he went with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to the yeshiva in Yavne. Now he says like this. He says, Heve mitpalel b'shloma shel machot. You should pray into the strength, the strengthenness and the peaceful rule of the kingdom you live in. You should pray. Yeah? And if you should do it.
So you say you should pray that the Romans will teach you?
It's a good question. But let's put it first, that's why it was so important to say what his background was,
right.
Yeah? But it's a good, we'll talk it in a minute. He said you should pray for the peaceful Rome of the kingdom. So he's talking also, yeah, and it's brought to the halakha. And if you ever lived in, let's say, in England, I'm not sure what's in America, I don't know, but wherever you have a king,
right,
you pray for the king.
Right.
I was born in England, so every Shabbos used to pray for Queen Elizabeth II and the children.
Yeah, the young Israel ones do it. For the American press.
Still do it in American press.
Yeah.
Probably a short. It's probably a short.
Yeah, my shul. I'm doing that.
Where's your shul?
In Maryland. Well, it's actually just north of D.C., of the capital. But
so the play?
But I think that's. Yeah. But I've seen another shul.
So they pray?
It's in the city, yeah.
It's in the city.
Yeah. Prayer for the government.
Pray
yeah.
for the government.
At least in the older siddurs.
Yeah. In many, if you open any siddur printed in Russia in the 18th or 19th century, you see a prayer for the Tsar. Tsar Nikolai II would pray for his health and Kuzboch would strengthen him and his children, his family. It's written in the siddur. And you had the Caesar, you had the Austro-Hungarian Empire. You had Franz Joseph, the king of the empire, where most of the Jewish people used to live in the 18th century, 17th century. And if I open any Seder printed in those times in Vilna, Lvov, Lemberg, or anywhere in that area, you see in the Seder big, you know, whole page. How we should pray for the health of our king Franz Joseph, Caesar. God should help him, God should keep his health, God should strengthen him and his army, blah, blah, blah. And it's from here. Now the question is why? Why do we pray for the help of the king? Why should we do it?
Because Hashem brought them in.
What?
Hashem brought them in.
Because Hashem was the one who gave them the power, you say.
Right.
And now, even if he's a wicked king, even if he's not so, you know, maybe even
pray that he should change.
Oh, you have to pray he should change. That's right.
To pray when you pray that you know.
And why is it so important? Enough. Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. Maybe Hashem gave him, but why should we pray for him? Why should we pray? You know, Hashem, please keep him. Now let's be quiet about it. You know, we have a king. Well, okay, very good. Okay, that's it.
Because he's the new ruler.
So.
He's your ruler.
So, I mean, what is so important for us as the Jewish people or as a society that the king should be strong? Why is it important for us that we have to pray for it?
By praying for him, you're asking God to.
Why?
Let God decide.
Let God
be peace with us.
Do you know what? Let's ask it this way. You say Hashem put him. Okay, you're right. Okay. So let's leave it for Hashem. Why should we add to Hashem? Do you know, I want to remind you, please keep his health. Hashem won. Okay, but why should we be active about it and ask Hashem to do it? You know, our prayers do something. It's active. Yeah. It's active deed, yeah? It changes.
He came in originally to destroy us.
So why do we pray?
All right, so now, which happened, all right?
Uh-huh.
Especially with him, all right?
With who?
With the Rabbi
Hanina. It was the Romans and so on. We'll see about it. We're asking basically, you know, we have, let's put it simple, you know, we have the English kingdom, okay? Why is it important to have a government that we pray for? Why is it important to have a king that we pray for? It's not, you know, when you put it in a prayer.
To protect us.
Look, let's put it this way. Oh, yeah, good. Good. You put the point. Because here the question is, why is it important to have a government? Maybe anarchism is better, you know? Maybe no government is better? May no government see?
But once they're in, they destroyed the Beit HaMikdash.
Let's not talk of the Romans. We'll speak about it later. Let's talk about a simple American government. Or English government, or you know,
right, American government. Right, we pay for the government. We pay for the.
It's not a good example.
They don't become like the Nazis.
Let's talk. Let's talk. No, we're not talking about someone who's come to destroy the Jewish people. We're not talking about it. Yeah, we're going to talk about it in a minute. But I want to first ask a much simpler situation. Yeah, simple situation is Jewish people. Living under the rule of the Hungarian Caesar, Franz Joseph. Why is it important to have a Caesar and have a kingdom and have police and army? Why is it important for us? Why is it important? Why is it so important that we put it in tefillah? You know, we don't put everything in tefillah. We don't put everything in our prayers. Not all our, not everything we have. It's an official prayer. We can pray personally, everyone can have, you know, someone has a problem with prayer, Hashem, but it's officially, you know, you take out the Sefer Torah, and you bring it, and you say, the Aron Kodesh is sometimes open, you say, Hashem, please save the king, or save the queen. Why is it so important? So you said something true, you said something. Kingship, kingdom, or I would say, a ruling system, political system, rules is important for society, because if not, what would happen?
It says that people would eat each other.
Eat each other. Yeah. The Gemara says in Brachos, it's very interesting. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos that the humanity is compared to fish in the sea. Why are they compared to fish in the sea? Because, like fish in the sea, the bigger fish eat the smaller fish. Same is also the Jewish society, the human society. Human society, that's what the Gemara says, are like fish in the sea. The small fish are eaten by the bigger fish, and the bigger by the bigger, and the bigger by the bigger. And who eats them all? The big fish, the whale, eats them all. That's how it's a bit. So the Gemara says, you know, humanity is the same. It's not so positive. You know, we're not born. You know, there's a philosophical, psychological argument that goes generations back. Are human beings born in nature good or born in nature bad? Yeah? So what we're seeing, this is the Gemara, what the Gemara says, you should know that humanity are built in such a way, like fish in the sea, where the smaller one doesn't get help if he's in trouble, doesn't get help by the bigger ones. He gets eaten by the bigger ones. Human nature is not so positive. That's what the Gemara says. So, in order that it shouldn't happen, in order that the bad nature, this Yetzirah Hara, built in nature of humanity, in order that it should be kept. It's peaceful. All this fish, yeah, we are all fish, the small fish, big fish, shouldn't eat each other. Yeah? We need a strong society. We need kingship. We need a ruler. We need a government. That's why it's important. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And that's what he says here, as you say. In order that humanity and human people should be able to keep each other in peaceful, peaceful life and not damage each other, not try and eat each other, you need a government. That's what you need. You need a king. So that's what Rabbi Hanina Sgan HaKohanim says in the Mishnah. He says, you should pray for the peace of the king. You should pray for it. Because if not, humanity, we're not talking now about Jewish people, we're talking about human beings. We're talking about the nature of human beings. If not, ish et re'eu, every man to his friend, to his friend, I mean, every one and one of us will eat him alive. Chayim balau, will swallow him alive. That's the nature.
Even the religious from people.
He's talking about the nature of humanity. Everyone. That's what he says.
Yeah.
And again, if we say, if we remind us ourselves, as I quoted from Brochus, that's the nature. People, humanity, are not like, you know, sheep. They're all very nice to each other. And, you know, hold me and try to help you. The human people, there's something planted in us.
Where is all the tzaddikim?
Oh, this is something I'll talk about in a minute. The nature, we have a Yetzirah in us, and it says, Yetzirah lev ha'adam ra min orav. There's a Yetzirah in us planted in from the minute we're born, yeah, or maybe a bit later, but, and if we don't have rules, if we don't have anything to stop us, then humanity is like fish that eats each other. The big one swallows the smaller one. And what's the most difficult and problematic situation? Most problematic situation is when you have two sharks. Yeah, like a shark will eat the smaller ones. But what if you have two sharks and they're fighting with each other? Then you have war. It's most dangerous and problematic situation than ever. Now, it's very interesting. Because it's very, very interesting. Have you heard about there's this political thinker, English thinker called Thomas Hobbes. He wrote a book called Whale. The Whale. That's the name of the book. And what is theory?
What?
The Whale.
The Whale.
Yeah. Have you heard about him?
No. Hobbes, yeah, I know Hobbes.
Thomas Hobbes. He's one of the first political thinkers in new Renaissance philosophy, I would say. And what does he say? Why is this book called The Whale? And what's his idea? And it's unbelievable. I don't know. I was thinking maybe he has a Jewish rabbi. I don't know. This is a book. He says, Why do we need a government? Why do we need a government? Because if not, we're all like fish in the sea, where the smaller get eaten by the bigger ones, and the life is a misery, and wars. He says the history. If we look at the history of humankind, that's where it begins. That's the saying he begins with. If we look at the history of humankind, then it's a history of wars, bloodshed, and wickedness and cruelty. That's the history of humanity. Because the nature of humanity.
That's not just the Nazis.
What?
It's not just the Nazis.
Yes, it's not just the Nazis.
No,
it began much earlier.
Look today.
Look at today.
It's even worse.
Yeah.
Look at today.
Yeah.
Today's worse.
Yeah. Not better, yeah. So it's human nature. So He says the reason we need a government is in order to keep people from keeping peace with each other and not to surround themselves with this nature. In order to keep us to be nice to each other, we need the kingship, and that's the whale. The whale, he says, the whale is the state, the country, the government, the kingship. That keeps the order, keeps law and order. So you need a strong force, that's what you need. Not what you need. You need a strong force, you need the kingship. So, this is exactly what Rabbi Chanina Bezgan HaKohanim is saying. Exactly what he's saying. And he's saying you should pray for the peace of the king. And that's why we do it. We as Jews did it all our generation. We prayed for the peace of the king. And there's a reason. It wasn't to flatter the king. It wasn't to flatter the government. That's not why we did it. We did it because it's a halacha. It's a mishnah. It's written in the Shulchan Aruch. It's written in the Rambam. We need to do it. That's what Rabbi Chanina Bezgan HaKohanim says. Now, you pointed out a good question. We spoke about the background of Rabbi Chanina Bezgan HaKohanim, yeah? And we know what was his time, the kingdom was. The kingdom. What was it? It was the Roman Empire. Wicked empire. Still he says you should pray for them. That's what he says. Yeah. And the answer is yes. Yes. And that's why he said it. He said though it's a wicked empire. And though they did do bad to the Jewish people. But still. As long as the letters live, and as long as the letters have our yeshivas, and they let us study Torah and keep the mitzvahs, and that's what the situation was, then we should pray for them to be, you know, mm-hmm. keep in peace, because without them it's even worse. Without them we have no chance to survive. As long as they let us keep the mitzvahs, as long as they let us keep the Torah and let us study Torah. So that's also important to understand what his background was. He was in the time of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the time of the destruction of the temple. And it was bad times for the it wasn't easy times for the Jewish people. But still, they let them keep the yeshiva. And they had the yeshiva of Yochanan ben Zakkai. They let us keep mitzvahs. They let us keep the Torah. Okay, we didn't have our own government. They ruled the land. Right. Yeah, we didn't have any autonomy. We didn't have our own king. It was the Roman Empire. Caesar sitting in Rome was. Who was his name was Aspasianus, if I'm not mistaken. He was then the emperor. But still, between the two, you know, between having a king and having a strong ruler in the land. That keeps the peace. Fax Romana, it was called Pax Romana, that was the name, yeah? So they called it the Roman peace. It's important to have the peace, even if it's a Roman peace. It's important. And that's why Jewish people, also under the Tsar, Nikolai II, you see in the Sidurim, he was a wicked king. Sure, he was wicked. And many, they did, you know, it wasn't easy times for the Jewish people in Russia. But if you look in the Sidurim of those times, you can see they pray for his peace. They do, because as long as let us keep mitzvahs, let us to learn Torah, then the halacha says you should pray for his peace. You should pray for it. It's very, but that's the difference. It's a very important difference. It's brought in the halacha. If the king does not let you keep mitzvot, and does not let you study Torah, then no. Then pray that Hashem should remove him.
And that's what they ask.
Yes.
You have the right to pray out loud for him to be destroyed.
Yes. If he does not let you keep the Torah and keep the mitzvot, then you should pray for his destruction. Sure. And that's when they stopped. When there was times when they didn't let the Jewish people keep Torah, they didn't pray for him. Maybe they even prayed for the opposite.
It's amazing because the destruction of Beit HaMikdash, you're thinking you already prayed for
Yeah, exactly.
Killing him,
it's amazing.
That was a building. That was a structure.
Yeah.
It wasn't us.
Yeah, it's
true. There was thousands and thousands of the got killed during that time.
Right.
But it wasn't total destruction.
Exactly. It wasn't total destruction, and they let Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai keep his yeshiva and let the Jewish people keep the mitzvahs. To let them keep the Torah. If so, okay. And then came Rebbe, and was even better times. Okay. But if they don't let you keep the Torah and mitzvahs, not only you pray against him, you should try and remove him. So the halakha. So it's like it's halakha. It's not, you know, just, but it's halakha based on an interesting political philosophy. That looks at the idea, I would say it's anti-anarchistic thought. That's the Torah. Yeah, it's not anarchy. It's not. It's against anti. The halakha is supports having a government. That's the way Reb Chanin Zgan HaKohanim puts it. It's important to have a government, a strong government. It's important to have a police force and an army to keep peace. I would say that's what the Torah says also, that you should, there's a mitzvah. I mean, if we go a bit into it, there is a certain mitzvah to have a king. Okay? First of all, let's just, you know, conclude what till here Rabbi Chanin Zgan HaKohanim says. Rabbi Chanin Zgan HaKohanim till here says, any kingship you have, you should pray for its help, for its peace, yeah, and for its strength. You should pray for King Charles, and you should pray for American government, and you should pray for, where are you from? South America? South Africa? South Africa.
Yeah.
Whoever the
president
is, you should pray for him. It's a mitzvah. It's a halacha. And it should be part of the davening.
So love shalim.
What?
Just one Israel.
Yes.
We're taking it around.
It's not Shmona Israel.
No, but we're saying that Hashem should
it's after
do away with these people. No, it's Shmona Israel.
Oh, you mean where it says
you're saying about that they should be wiped out or taken away?
Oh, those
so are, that is saying that you should have them change their ways, basically.
Yeah, when you have bad people. When you have bad...
Jews, for sure, it's saying...
Yeah, yeah,
that,
when you have bad... Lashoftim, yeah, when you have bad...
But if you go according to him, he's saying that you're supposed to pray that they...
As long as he lets you keep the Torah, you should pray. Mm. Now, there's a question. Now, we're trying to, you know, look at things a bit even, yeah? So there's a question, you know, and it's a question got to do also for us here in Israel. As most of the Mefarshim understand, he is talking about a Gentile king. Jewish people living in Israel under like a foreign empire rule, yeah, like in those times, Roman Empire. Or it could be Jews living in any country, any foreign country, and a foreign king. You should pray for him. What about us, the Jewish people? Yeah? Does it also apply to us? Is it important we have a king? We?
Oh,
maybe.
So
Hashem says we should always have a king.
It's in some ways, it says in the Torah, yeah, it's a mitzvah to have a king.
Right. As long as it's not, right. I mean, not, I shouldn't say, as long as not. But, I mean, one of the conditions that I understand is that you shouldn't be doing it to be like the other nations. Like the
Gentiles. Yes. It should be a Jewish king. It should be. He should be a believer and try to as much as he can to, you know, keep the mitzvahs, and not only in private, also in public. Should be, you know, a religious kingdom. Yeah, that's Moshiach. Yeah, that's Mizrach. Moshiach is a Jewish religious king. That's Moshiach.
Yeah.
You know, the word Moshiach lost its meaning.
Yeah.
During the generations. But what does Moshiach mean? What does the word Moshiach mean?
Literally, like anointed. I understand.
Anointing. Wow. So why is Moshiach called an anointing? Why? Why is it? Where does it come from?
Is it from anointing a king before?
It's a king. The difference between an official king.
Yeah.
And the unofficial king is the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, anoints him with olive oil.
Yeah.
So it's called the full name is Hamelech HaMashiach. You have HaKohen HaMashiach. If you look in the Torah, you have HaKohen HaMashiach, the high priest that's anointed, he's the high priest. And you have HaMelech HaMashiach, the king that's also anointed. This is a king that's officially.
Yeah.
But it changes meaning, you know. Messiah is like, you know, suddenly redempt the Jewish people, redempt the humanity. And I don't know. Christians took it to idol somewhere far away. But it's simple. As the Rambam put it, Mashiach is a Jewish king that ruled the people, ruled the Jewish people with the true ways of the Torah, makes them keep the Torah. It's a Jewish kingdom with Jewish laws, and that's it. That's the whole idea. But is there a mitzvah to have a melech? Is there a mitzvah to have a king? And should we pray for him? If it's a mitzvah, surely we should pray for him. Right? But it's not 100%. It's not sure. Why? Because, have you ever read or learned the book of Shmuel?
Yes. I don't know how much I really remember, but yes. I read it.
Shmuel? You know, in the times of Shmuel, he was the king, before Shmuel.
Oh, right. Before Shmuel? You mean before
Shmuel? Before Shmuel, who was the king? Before generation of Shmuel, who was the king?
Generation of Shmuel?
Yeah, before his generation.
Oh, you mean the king of, what was his name?
Was there any Jewish king?
No Jewish king.
King.
Right, except.
Yeah, the Shoftim, the judges. Right. Yeah, the sometimes Shimshon, Avinoam, and Avimelech, and Elimelech, and none of them was king.
Right.
Not only that,
yeah.
I just learned it with my son,
yeah.
The Shabbos. Because he needed to.
That's why we had the Nasi and the.
Yeah, the Nasi had president. And, he didn't have a king.
He was the one who made the decision, the public decision.
Yes, right. It wasn't like a ruler. It was if sometimes you had him,
like,
you wanted
like
him, you needed help.
It was the two of them. In from the ones before, we learned that there was two. One was the Nasi and one was the.
You were talking about the times of the Tanaim.
Right.
I'm going earlier.
So would it be the same?
The first, not. I'm going to the times before the kingdom of David,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
before the kingdom of Shaul.
Yeah.
I'm going to the earlier times,
right.
times of Yehoshua. I'm not sure Yehoshua was a king, and after,
right.
when he conquered the land,
right.
and then you had generations over generations with no king.
Mm-hmm.
You had the Shoftim, you had judges. You had Shimshon, the famous judge. You had Ehud Ben Gera, Dvorah Nevi'ah, Dvorah the prophet. You didn't have kings. You had, sometimes they're there, sometimes not. There was no king.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that. You had the prophet Shmuel. He was the prophet Shmuel. And the people of Israel came to him and said, we want a king. Do you know, they said, you know, we're living here without no king. And we have wars the whole time with our neighbors, with the Canaanites and the Plishtim. We want a king. So what was his reaction?
He's upset.
Very upset. He said, what do you mean? Your king is Hashem.
Right.
He's a king. What do you mean you want a king? You have Hashem! They were almost punished because they wanted a king. Hashem is a king. But they wanted, so we gave him Shaul the king, and after Shaul you had David the king, and that's it, and then the whole generation Jewish king. So it's not 100% that it's a mitzvah to have a king. I'm saying already the Rambam says it is a mitzvah, okay? But you have, I would quote the Abba Banel, for example, he says there's no mitzvah to have a king. The real mitzvah, as you said in the beginning, for the Jewish people, the most highest level Jewish people can come to is that Hashem is the king. Whatever Hashem does, they do. And you have a prophet, if you need that question, to tell you what to do. But the kingship the ruler is Hashem, and in nature you keep the Torah, yeah, in that way, if you put it this way, let's put it in the context, you keep the Torah. The Torah and Hashem is the ruler, and that keeps you not to eat each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes you a special nation that overcomes this bad nature, this wicked nature of eating each other, of killing each other, yeah? Through the Torah. We become a kingdom of Kohanim, a kingdom of holy people, a kingdom of Tzaddikim. Then you don't need a king. Hashem is a king. I mean, you still keep yourself not to do Averis, right? But not because of a king, not because of the outside reason, not because of a policeman. Because of what? Because of Ribbono Shel Olam. And because what? If you have, you know, a desire to do bad to your friend, or you want something to maybe to steal, then what should you do?
You pray to Ribbono Shel Olam for keeping the Yetzer Hara.
Yes. What you do? You learn the Mishnah you studied last week of Akavya ben Mahalal. Akavya ben Mahalal said, if you want to keep yourself out of Averus, remember Hashem, remember where you come from, remember who rules you. Melech, Malche, Amlachem, he's a king. Who's a king? Not Queen Elizabeth, not the police, American NYPD. Your king is Melech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech, Malchei Amlochem, he's the king. As we learned in the Mishnah before. So you don't need Murosh or Malchus. You don't need the outside king. Yeah, you don't need the Roman Empire. You don't need Franz Josef. You don't need the police. You don't need anything. You have Hashem. Hashem is keeping us. If we're all a nation of Hashem, and we'll keep the Mishnah we learned before of Akavya ben Mahalal, we don't need to move to the next Mishnah of looking around if we have a king or we don't have a king. Because it says, Melech Malchem Lachakadosh Baruch Hu. Akadosh Baruch Hu is a king. So the highest level, I'm quoting the Abarbanel, says, the highest level of Jewish people is not to have a king. Your king is Hashem. So what's the mitzvah of a king? It says, puts it this way, it says, well, if you want a king, and if you need a king, then it should be someone like David HaMelech. Because if it's like David HaMelech, what does he do? What does he remind you? Someone like the Mashiach, what does he remind you day after day? He always reminds you, well, I'm officially a king, but the real king is Hashem. That's what he says. You know, his every speech would give out, would say, in the name of Hashem, of the Torah, and the mitzvahs, I want to ask you, please behave yourself. And be nice to each other. That's what he would say, right? He would say it in the name of Hashem. Right. I'm the king. If you don't be, I'm going to put you in jail. No, what does he say? He reminds us, keep mitzvahs. So that's what Barbara says. He says, that really, and that's why he was a bit angry, Shmuel, when the people came, they want the king. He says, what do you mean? You have Hashem. Hashem is Melech, Malchei, Melochem. He's the real king. That you want, you need, you feel you're so, you need it, because you know, you're not at such a high level. Well, I'm sad about it, but I'll give you. But then I'll give you a king like King David, or like Shaul. I'll give you a king like Shaul, that will remind you every minute that Hashem is the real king. And when Shaul failed, yeah? When he failed the test, and Hashem told him to do something, and he didn't do exactly as Hashem said, he lost the kingdom. He lost it. Because that's the whole idea. You have to remind the whole... You know what I mean? You can only be king of the Jewish people if you remind them about who's the real king. If you don't do it, you lost it. And it went to David HaMelech. And what did David the king do? He was also a great king. He was a great king, a great ruler. He also gave us the book of prayer, great book of prayers of Tehillim. You read it. It's all about Hashem. It's all saying, you know, I'm nothing. I'm so... for my own, I have nothing for my own. It's all from you, Hashem. That's the book of Tehillim. The greatest prayer book written by, I think, by the Jewish people anytime. That's the greatness of David HaMelech, and that's why Mashiach comes from him. Because that's what Mashiach will do. When Mashiach will come, he's going to rule us. He's going to be a king, like all kings, the Rambam says. But his main aim will to bring us back to Hashem and remind us that Hashem, he is Melech, he is the King of Kings. So that's what's special in the when we talk about a Jewish king. So if we put it this way, when we talk about a king, a Gentile king, the only value it has for us is because it keeps peace. That's the value of it, and that's what we pray for. But when we talk about the Jewish king, it's more than that. His value is not because to keep the peace, because if the only idea is to keep the peace, you know, it maybe means that we are not good enough. Maybe, you know, when we live in Israel, yeah, and we have our own king. And oy vavoy, we need a king in order to keep the peace. It means that we're in a low level. It means that we don't keep the mitzvahs as we needed. We don't learn the Torah as needed. We don't learn the first Mishnah as needed. We don't learn the Mishnah of Akavi ben Mahalalel. We don't remember who's the real king. So if then we need a king for that, it means we're in a bad situation. There we have a king that the value is, he reminds us who we are. Who we are. What we are. And who the real king is. And in some ways, if I would quote the Maharal and of course, the importance of a Jewish kingdom is because that's the way, you know, everyone and one of us as an individual is a Jew, yeah? Yeah? But the Jewish people is a nation. Jewish people are people. We are a nation. We're not just a bunch of private individuals. We are a nation. And what unites us is the Torah and the mitzvahs of them, what we do as Jews, yeah? And that's how our real quality and potential as Jewish people come out when we as a kingdom do the mitzvahs, yeah? The Rashar here says something interesting. He says, you know, the Torah was given to the Jewish people. It wasn't given to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, I don't know, did keep the mitzvahs, I don't know. Questions about them. One thing I can be sure about Avraham Avinu, you know, you have the schus, a higher schus than Avraham Avinu, and then Yaakov Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu. Why? Because none of them stood in Har Sinai. But we did. They not. They didn't get the Torah. No one came down the mountain of Har Sinai and gave them the book of books.
No,
they didn't get it.
But Boston gained the knowledge to know it all.
They gained the knowledge. Very good. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
maybe.
We didn't receive it either. We were there. It says we were there. Neshama was there, yes.
Certain mitzvahs.
I'm sure that dead Neshama was there too.
Maybe, but later.
Because otherwise it would have followed all
but
the
mitzvahs. But let's put it this way. Until the Jewish people came as a nation, they did not. They didn't get it. Mm-hmm. The Neshama didn't get it. And it means even if they did do the mitzvah, they did do the knowledge, but they did it, you know, as from their own will, not as a mitzvah. Yeah? It's for the goodwill. Yeah, they didn't have an obligation to do any mitzvah. There were some mitzvahs they didn't do because they couldn't even do it. They, you know, like let's say a mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. They could build the Beis HaMikdash. They could do a mitzvah like Hakel, they could do it. They couldn't. Only one, Avraham Avinu's family. What mitzvah can they do? All the mitzvahs have got to do with the nation. Mitzvahs in the nation. They can't do Shemitah. Because the Torah was given to the Jewish people as a nation, not as individuals. And if there's only Chas B'Sholem, one Jew left, he's the representative of the Jewish people in the world. He can be an individual, but he's the Jewish people. Even if he's one, he's the Jewish people. He's the whole Torah is on him. That's so having being a society, a whole society in the land of Israel, and having our own government, yeah, and living as a society under a government, our own government, and keeping the Torah. That's really the aim of the Torah, because this is how the whole reason and the whole aim of the Torah gets fulfilled. When we as a nation live all in Israel, in the land of Israel, we all live together as a nation and as one society, as one king, or one government under Hashem, this is, you see, the whole, this is the structure, the whole structure the Torah is written for. That's the times of Messiah, the time of Moshiach. That's why it's important. Because that's really, I would say, the whole picture. That's why, that's what come back to the Jewish people as a whole. That's what we fulfill our full aim as being Jewish people. So, that's the meaning of having a king. So, in time of Moshiach, when we're going to pray for the health of our king, see, it's not going to be because what it says here. It's much more than that. It's because that's how we fulfill the Torah. It's a great idea.
Yeah, but we're not praying for the Mashiach. It's conquered king.
What?
We're not saying Mashiach will be king. We're saying Mashiach is coming to teach us,
yes,
the real king.
Exactly. As keeping us as a society under the rule of Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
When the Mashiach is the one who's reminding us to be a whole society kept together under the rule of Hashem.
Yeah.
That's the idea. So it's much more than that. So that's why Rabbi Chanina ben Zakkai HaKohen is not talking about Jewish kings. It's not referring to him. He's talking on his times when there was no Jewish king. Or even if you did have in the beginning of, you know, when the temple was still, you did have a certain king to be. He didn't keep mitzvahs. You had, you know, the grandson of Herod, King Herod. And you had the Roman Empire.
Hey, that's all was destroyed.
Yeah, it was destroyed. That's all destroyed. He's saying, well, when we have our own king, like the times of Hashmonai, the time of Moshiach, then sure we should pray for the help, for the peace of a king. Because this is how we fulfill the Torah, this is how we fulfill the mitzvahs, this is how what we aim to. He's telling us, you know, but even if not, we live in such bad times that we don't have our own king, and we have a Gentile king, we have the Roman Empire ruling us. Still, we should pray. Why? Okay, not because of, you know, our idealistic desire, no. But still, in these times, in order to keep well, in order to, the society shouldn't break into pieces and each one will fight each other, we need to pray. Everyone and one of us will eat each other alive. So that's enough reason to pray. That's the deeper meaning of what a voice trying to tell us. Rabbi Chanin is going to call it.
Even when what?
He's telling us that even when you have a non-Jewish king.
Non-Jewish king.
Yeah, or a king, it could be a non-Jewish king, or a Jewish king that doesn't go according to Jewish ways. It's the same, no different, yeah? Still, if he keeps the society together, and he has a strong force to keep you, to keep society that the nature, the bad nature of humanity shouldn't rise, it's also a reason to pray for him. That's enough reason. And it's like an advice for the Golas, you know, he sees destruction, and he sees 2,000 years going on. He sees the Jewish people, where they're going to exile, where they're going to fall. He's telling us, you should know, don't fight, don't go against the kings you're going to live in under the rule. You should know, there's a good deed, they have a good thought, something positive in them, even if they're wicked, even if they're bad, even if they're Gentiles, even not keeping the mitzvahs. You should know, as long they let you keep mitzvahs, okay, and as long as they have a system that keeps peace, a system of a certain way, even a minimum way of justice, and they keep you a justice system, and keep a certain order, law and order, pray for it. Look at the positive side. And it kept the Jewish people, generation after generation, and how important it was, because it wasn't easy for Jews to live all these thousands of years under certain kings. Some of them were bad, some of them worse. But they always, every Shabbos, they remind them what Rabbi Hanina ben Zgan told them. Calm down. It's important. That's why it's coming to pass. Okay.
Thank you.